Good morning. Today's scripture lesson comes from the book of Jeremiah, chapter 29, verses 11 through 14. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not harm you. Plans to give you hope and a future. Then you will call upon me and come and pray to me, and I will listen to you. You will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart. I will be found by you, declares the Lord, and will bring you back from captivity. I will gather you from all the nations and places where I have banished you, declares the Lord, and will bring you back to the place which I carried you into exile. The word of God for the people of God.
Good morning. My name is Mary Frances Roll, and I just graduated from Paul VI High School in Fairfax. But before we begin, I wonder if you might bow your heads and pray for me and with me this morning. Oh Lord, thank you so much for this wonderful Sunday morning that you have given us. Thank you for Flores and the community that you have given to me throughout my childhood and to all the other seniors graduating. I ask that this message be yours this morning, not merely mine. I ask that you let each of us hear it in the way that you know we need to. And I ask all these things through Jesus' name. Amen. So today is the last day of our sermon series, Hearing God Speak, in which we've discovered that there's this difficult tension we feel between God's sovereignty and our human freedom. But it's important to realize that this tension is solely conditional upon our choices and use of free will. God's sovereignty is unyielding and never changing. God wants to see us succeed and bring glory to him. He does not lead us into hardship, but he will see us through it. Today, I want to look at how our choices throughout our lives affect how we hear God and are ultimately transformed by him. Today marks a week anniversary since my high school graduation, and needless to say, I'm still swimming in a sea of emotions from it. It hasn't really hit me yet. Transitions from one season of life to the next are hard, I'm figuring out. Endings and beginnings are difficult. Our scripture today comes at a difficult season for the Jews sent to exile in Babylon. The passage is taken from a letter the prophet Jeremiah wrote from Jerusalem to the exiles in Babylon. In his letter, Jeremiah has two messages. First, to prosper and grow through exile, and second, to beware of false prophets. The section of the letter right before the reading, verses 5-6, says, "Build houses and settle down. Plant gardens and eat what they produce. Marry and have sons and daughters. Find wives for your sons and give your daughters in marriage. Increase in number there. Do not decrease." God is saying, make a life in exile and continue on amidst the hardship. This letter is extremely significant in how exile was perceived at this time. Suddenly, exile is being turned from a period of pure judgment and punishment to an opportunity for repentance and spiritual growth. In this passage, the Hebrews find hope that the day-to-day routines of life may continue through exile. And from this, we are given a message of hope. Jeremiah's second message is warning the exiles against false prophets. The exiles faced many false prophets that preached of a short captivity and that they would return home soon. But Jeremiah knew differently, and he warns the exiles against believing these lies. Let's look at verse 10. "This is what the Lord says. When 70 years are completed for Babylon, I will come to you and fulfill my good promise to bring you back to this place." There are several theories as to why the number 70 is used here. One of them is that at the time, 70 represented about the length of a human lifespan. So essentially, Jeremiah is warning that those taken to exile in Babylon won't be able to return home, and they don't have very much hope of doing so. So the exiles are forced to accept this new season of their lives and use it as an opportunity to grow in faith. Because you might as well move forwards if you can't move backwards. This is where I am right about now as I move forwards on and embark on my college adventure. At the beginning of my eighth grade year, though, a small group for eighth grade girls was started And now we're all seniors heading off to college in the fall, so our time together is ending. But the name of our small group was A Road Trip for Life, which is exactly what the Christian life is. We are on a road trip with Christ. Our ultimate destination goal is heaven. Our packing list includes the Bible, our church community, and spiritual disciplines like worship, prayer, and small groups. But as with any road trip, we face unexpected obstacles along the way. We hit potholes, get lost, and need emergency pit stops. These obstacles may appear to us through relationship difficulties, health problems, financial stresses, or simply a lack of progression in our faith. We cannot predict these obstacles along our faith journey, but how we respond to them drastically affects where the trip will take us. After having my driver's license for a few months and getting lost on more than one occasion, my parents deemed it necessary that I should have a GPS in the car with me at all times. Though the GPS helped, and her voice, her name is Susan, is soothing to me in times of stress, I still find myself lost and turned around and confused because I did not take the turn that Susan instructed me to take. To put it frankly, I have trust issues in my relationship with Susan, my GPS. If God is the voice of our GPS on this journey of ours, we must first trust him before we can confidently follow his directions. Read verse 11 with me. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you hope and a future. We believe in a loving, caring God. Once we can release our fears, worries, and concerns to him, once we can trust in his will for us, then we can have a real relationship with him and listen to his guiding voice. Then, after forming a trusting relationship with him, we must choose to come to God to build that relationship. Verse 12 says, then you will call on me and come and pray to me, and I will listen to you. We choose the path we take on our road trip. We may follow all of God's guiding commands, or we may choose our own path. As I face this new beginning heading off to college, I have new independence and freedom to choose whether to continue on in my faith or to veer off into a new direction. God is always with us. He longs for a relationship with us and is continually reaching out to us. But are we reaching back? God is waiting, but we must choose to call upon him. Finally, living the Christian life to the fullest requires us to commit. Look at verse 13. You will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart. This statement is conditional upon finding God. We must be all in our faith. You cannot live the Christian life and expect to be satisfied in it if you're choosing to seek God on your terms. It doesn't work. So here I was, driving a group of friends to cheer on our Paul VI basketball team at American University for the championship game. It was my first time driving the Beltway. The car was full of the usual teenager distractions, with French fries flying in every direction, the radio blasting, and constant chatter in the background. But as my friend navigated our way into DC, she instructed me on the exit I needed to take to emerge onto 66, cross over three lanes of traffic in a very short amount of time, exit 66, and merge onto the Beltway. I'm sure you all know that's not an easy task. But I forced a smile to my face and said, no problem, while my mind raced with the images of my friends whose lives were now in my hands. I was afraid. I did not trust my driving abilities enough to commit to merging into the traffic. But I still hit the gas and hoped for the best. It is okay to be afraid as we commit to God. The unknown is daunting to us, but we must commit. Read verse 13 with me again and emphasize the bolded words. You will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart. God doesn't want just part of our heart. He doesn't want to hear from us only on Sunday mornings. He wants all of us, every day and every word and every action, to radiate the glory and love that he shows us. The ultimate goal of the Christian faith is to make it all the way over to the left lane, HOV lanes, riding close to God and with others in our car. But no matter what lane we ride in, whether it be the HOV lanes full of the joy of Christ or another path we've chosen on our own, we will hit potholes. Potholes do not discriminate between lanes, and evil and suffering don't care whether we are Christ followers or not. Our faith does not guarantee us fortune and prosperity and blissful happiness during our lives on earth. Christ came to give us the hope and joy of eternity. When we commit to his ways and rest in his loving arms, God is so happy to call us his children. We cannot attempt this life alone. We need each other. We will face hardships, but God will never leave us. So really, the conclusion that I've come to is that if we want to hear God's voice and determine his will for our lives, it is up to us. We must trust that God only wishes the best for us, choose to listen to his whispering voice, and faithfully commit to all he calls of us. As I contemplate endings and beginnings, I wonder how people faithfully live this life, how the Hebrews did it in Babylon, how college students do it, how people struggling through difficult times do it. If I could write a letter to myself at college in 6 months, I would remind myself of all the lessons I have learned from my Sunday school teachers, small group leaders, Patty and Debbie, and the countless mentors from my Flores family. I would encourage myself to cling to Christ the way Flores taught me to. And I would remember all the times that God has spoken to me through others and the joy he has brought to my life. I would remind myself that God is always with me, but our relationship is up to me. I must trust, choose, and commit to him in order to hear his voice fully. Thank you.
Will you bow your heads and pray with me and for me? Dear Heavenly Father, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of all of our hearts be pleasing to you. For you, O Lord, are our strength and redeemer. Be with us this morning and help us to hear your word. Amen. Hello, my name is Hannah Berlin, and I am a soon-to-be graduated senior at Oakton High School. Today is the final sermon in the series, Hearing God Speak. You've heard why we have trouble hearing God's words, how to fix this problem, and why it is so important that we listen. Today, we will focus on how we respond to God when he speaks to us. Growing up, whenever anyone asked me, "What do you want to be when you grow up?" I would automatically respond with, "A doctor." I loved diagnosing my stuffed animals and dolls with exotic diseases, patching them up with Band-Aids and ice packs. I would fake symptoms just to go to the doctor's office. A mandatory shot for school was like Christmas in August. But now, when someone asks me, "Do you know what you plan on studying?" instead of my previous response, I respond with music education. Sometimes I myself wonder, how did I get here? When I was young, I was extremely involved with extracurricular activities. I was a part of the school chorus, the church choir, the handbell choir. I took piano lessons. I was participated in Girl Scouts. And during the summers, on top of vacation Bible school Girl Scout camps, I also went to Inova nursing camps. I loved learning about all the different things a doctor could do, from cardiology to surgery to physical therapy to working in the NICU. Shadowing nurses in the ER was exhilarating. I wanted to live my life knowing I had changed someone else's for the better. My mom was confident in my ability to work in medicine because I am the only person in my immediate family who does not cringe or pass out when open wounds and broken bones are discussed. She always bragged about my ability to think on my toes and react quickly and calmly in a stressful situation. But around eighth grade, something inside me shifted. This is the year I went from the calmest, least dramatic child of the family to the curse of the mother child. You know, the "one day I hope you have a child exactly like you." You can blame it on puberty, being a middle child, or just call it a phase. But my parents did not know what to do with me. My straight A's were slipping. I was becoming the extroverted socialite I dreamed of being. It was the year I began to overcommit myself. I was teaching Sunday school. I was a buddy in the buddy program downstairs. And I was directing the children's choir on top of all of my other activities. I wanted to do it all. Being raised literally in the church, I felt obligated to be the example of what an ideal Christian should be. Recently confirmed, I felt I had all the answers. On the outside, I looked like I had it all together, but on the inside, I was a mess. I didn't understand the importance of having time set aside specifically for God. I had it in my head that praying before eating and going to church every Sunday was enough. But as I grew older, I learned this wasn't true. As I read Jeremiah, I thought of the beach. As summer is just a week away, the beach has been on my mind a lot lately, as I'm sure it is on yours as well. Think about the days when you are out on the sand. You can hear the laughter of small children running around, people talking as they collect shells, the squawking of the seagulls above you, the ultimate frisbee game going on right behind your umbrella, someone's radio blaring off in the distance. The noises around you are gleeful, but they're loud. Soon you realize you can barely hear the waves of the ocean. Now think of the times you get up extra early to go see the sunrise over the ocean, or you go for a night walk on the beach to see the stars. You are overwhelmed by the beauty, the power, and the voice of the sea. It is when we seek time alone with the ocean that we hear nothing but the ocean. In the same way, God says in verse 13, "You will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart." Sometimes we assume that when God calls us, he will shout loud enough for us to hear. But after reading Jeremiah, we know that we will not be able to truly hear the word of God until we seek it. Though I was trying my best to live the Christian lifestyle, I wasn't trying hard enough. I wasn't putting my best effort into it. I wasn't truly seeking God. I was walking my own path and assuming it was the one that God wanted me on. During my junior year of high school, I began looking at colleges. Junior year is by far the most stressful year of high school. Unfortunately, my way of coping with the stress was to pretend that I didn't care and that I was too cool for school. After my parents confronted me about the matter, I realized I needed to change. I began to pray. Verse 12 says, "Then you will call on me and come and pray to me, and I will listen to you." We know that God will always listen to us. The question we must ask ourselves is, will we listen to him? I consciously sought the Lord and all of his wisdom. I was led to Samuel 3:9-10, which says, "Therefore, Eli said to Samuel, 'Go lie down, and if he calls you, you shall say, Speak, Lord, your servant hears.' So Samuel went and lie down in his place, and the Lord came and stood, calling at other times, 'Samuel, Samuel,' and Samuel said, 'Speak, Lord, for your servant hears.'" What if we lived this way? What if this verse became our mantras? With everything we do, what if we first thought, "Speak, Lord, for your servant hears"? Friends, why not let our lives be defined by a recognition of our need for God's word? Our need for the word of God that became flesh, Jesus, and our need for the word of God proclaimed uniquely in the passages of Scripture. And if and when we recognize those two things, then our lives should be defined by this statement uttered in our hearts: "Speak, Lord, for your servant hears." As we open the Bible each day, "Speak, Lord, for your servant hears." As we look back to God's word at those forks in the road of life, "Speak, Lord, for your servant hears." As we come to a place of temptation, "Speak, Lord, for your servant hears." When we are filled with a foolish self-confidence in light of our own wisdom, "Speak, Lord, for your servant hears." When we can truly declare those words, then they say two things about our heart. By God's grace, they point to the presence of humility and hunger. In fact, it's humility that leads to hunger. We not only acknowledge that we are God's servants, but as servants, we acknowledge that only when he speaks, only through his word, will we be able to fulfill our rightful duty, which is not just dutiful, but it is our joy, which is our worship. For once in my life, I felt called. I figured out who I was and who I wanted to be. Music has guided my life. It has allowed me to express my emotions no matter what I am feeling. Choral music particularly speaks to me. It speaks to unity rather than a soloist. It embraces the idea of working together to create something beautiful and relying on one another to produce harmonies. But most of all, music can touch people on a spiritual level that words simply cannot. It is a way of worship. After becoming extremely involved in my high school choral department, the student choir here at Floris, and directing the Grace Notes Choir, I felt called to music education. Knowing that I could teach a child that Jesus does love them and that their light does, in fact, shine, has allowed me to realize that there is more than one way to change someone's life than through medicine. I will be exploring my calling in music education, which I will be studying for the next few years at Christopher Newport University. I want to thank you for following through on the vows you take each time a child is baptized. To the parents of children in the Grace Notes Choir, thank you for allowing me to spend time with your children. You don't understand how greatly they have affected my life. Thank you for your support and encouragement. Thank you for teaching me who God is and how he speaks to each and every one of us. I pray that when God calls us, we will know how to answer. Thank you.
I want to especially thank Mary Frances and Hannah, and I want to tell you, this is no small thing that we do. We don't just put anybody up in the pulpit.